This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome my colleague of longstanding, Francis Rose, who's about to launch his new program for those of you most concerned with the federal government, the federal workforce, how Washington works, how Washington is recovering from the pandemic, the days ahead, cyberspace, and the federal government. Francis Rose's new show will be The Federal Government Today with Francis Rose, launching in mid-January 2023, although I'm told there'll be test episodes, samples, before then. I begin, however, with an observation that Francis and I, of colleagues of many years, have made these last years, that the streets of D.C., the streets of Washington, D.C., are remarkably empty. There's very little noticeable foot traffic. And this is comparable in some fashion to Manhattan, which is a much larger city, and people live inside the center of the city of Manhattan, as opposed to Washington, where residence tends to be outside in a circumference. However, the traffic for the MTA, the famous subways of New York, is extremely limited, and 67% of the pre-pandemic load. So, Francis, we begin with D.C. and its recovery. What is the explanation for the little foot traffic on the street? And what is the expectation, say, for the spring of 2023, when your cherry blossoms will light up the canvas one more time? Good evening to you, Francis.
Good evening, John. Thanks for having me on, as always. I think you nailed the essence of why the situation sounds different in New York than it appears to me to be, at least in D.C., and that is that the business district in Washington is exactly that. There's very little residential real estate in the downtown area near the White House, near the old executive office building, up through to Capitol Hill. There's not a lot going on there residentially, and so the businesses that have been there historically have been geared toward like a 7 a.m. to 5 or 6 p.m. window. But we're seeing the same thing actually stretched in Washington compared to what you're seeing in New York with the metro ridership here. The last number I saw is that ridership is less than 50% of what it was in February of 2020 and the time before COVID. So this area is not coming back. If there will ever be such a thing as normal, is not coming back to normal as quickly as it seems other areas are. President Biden's addressed that, and he said he wants the federal government to get back to work. The problem is the employees don't want to, and the employees are I think rightfully saying, look, we've demonstrated since March of 2020 that we've gotten the work of the country done for the most part remotely. Why can't we continue to do it that way and get, you know, a couple hundred dollars worth of parking and gas money back every week and do better for the environment? And most importantly, I think for those people, get, for a lot of folks, an hour each way's commute back every single day of their lives. So spring of next year, I don't think it's going to look dramatically different than fall of this year looked, with lower foot traffic in the downtown areas and more federal employees making decisions about whether they're either going to work remotely or maybe not work for the federal government anymore.
These last years, we've again and again conversed about your guess and the transformation of the federal government from paper, from hard copy, to the digital universe, the cloud. And what areas of that transformation are especially of interest to you and that you're going to explore in your new program?
The one that I think is the most important to track is the notion of customer experience in government. President Trump's administration talked about it. President Biden's administration has made it one of the pillars of a document called the President's Management Agenda, which for each administration signals the things that they think are most important in the way the government works as an enterprise. And the shorthand for that is CX, customer experience. And it's something that organizations in government are talking about, not just from a context of we should do this because the White House said we should, but from the context of we should do this because it's good for citizens and it meets their expectations. And that's a sea change from what I saw when I came into this space 16 years ago, John. Agencies just didn't think about it that way. They thought this is the way that we do this process, and we've always done it this way, so it must be the best way, even though the people who decided to do it that way weren't there anymore. And when We want to digitize it. We're going to digitize all 16 of these steps and make it easier for people to do those 16 steps on the internet. And now what people are thinking about is not just digitization, but thinking about business process transformation. And I think that's it, for folks who are in the private sector and who do these kinds of things in the private sector, you're probably thinking, yeah, this is amateur stuff that we did a long time ago. Yes, that's fair, but it hasn't happened in government yet. It's been happening over the last, I'd say, 5 years. And I think in 2023, that is going to be the thing that I'll pay attention to probably the most, especially from a technology perspective.
There's a generational parade underway. The boomers retiring, maybe a little late, but they're retiring, being replaced by the millennials and Gen Z. How's it going in general, Francis?
Well, part of it's going and part of it's not. The part about the boomers leaving is happening, and it's not happening, you're right, at the level that anybody expected it to. I had a conversation with a friend of mine who's been involved in federal workforce issues for a long time, who said we've been expecting a retirement wave since 1998. That's never happened. And that's true. But the problem is the younger end is not coming in. They're not attracted to government service, quite frankly, the way that the boomer generation was inspired by John F. Kennedy. Nobody is doing that same thing in the Gen Zers and the millennials. What we're seeing, the last number I saw was 7% of the federal information technology workforce is under 30 years of age. And that just means there's nobody right now that's growing into the next generation of leadership. There's, in 5 years, there's not going to be a cohort of people, as there historically has been in government, who are ready to take the next step in their careers. And that's, from a workforce perspective, that's the hardest part that agencies are up against. And, you know, it's not just federal agencies. It's all of the military services have had challenges in meeting their recruitment numbers this year. So it's hard to determine how much of it is it's something that is inherent in the way the federal government does business, and how much of it has something to do with what inspires kids that are high school and college graduates to want to start their careers in a particular line of work like public service.
Security. The challenge is to avoid anything comparable to the OPM hack of many years ago. How's that in general going? Are people encouraged?
Yeah, people are encouraged, but still lots of work to do. A concept called zero trust, where you do not assume that just because someone logging onto the system says that he's John Batchelor just because he says so, and one ascertains each time that, yes, through credentials that we've already established, you really are John Batchelor. The system knows that through an automation process and then lets you do what you're set out to do, but only what you're set out to do, and not let you just wander around the system. That's given a lot of people cause for hope in the federal cybersecurity realm. And I think zero trust in the execution of it, especially in February with the 1 year anniversary of President Biden's executive order requiring agencies to pursue zero trust policies, that'll probably be the big cyber issue, the success or lack of success that agencies have in reaching that mature vision of zero trust that the administration has.
The new program launching in mid-January 2023, my colleague Francis Rose, it will be entitled The Federal Government Today with Francis Rose. You'll find it at his website, francisrose.com. I will be keen to interview him because I don't know how much the government depends upon these middle managers until Francis introduces me each week to the people working very hard to maintain continuity from the old ways of beltway traffic and paper hard copy to the new ways of work from home in cyberspace. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.